to This Week in
Mormons!
Keep talking, honey. Go ahead.
We're starting. We're starting this show. It's special.
She only
it's different.
The intro.
It's done.
It's once in a lifetime opportunity.
Yeah. So, folks, welcome to TWIM. This is a special format this week.
Because Wait, hold on. Let me get my. I don't have a piece of paper to be Al. Should I be Al this week?
What?
I gotta be like eating an ice cream sandwich and making noise.
Make a lot of noise, talk in folksy terms that no one understands, reference the band Cake. It's great not having him here. I can just kind of vent about everything I can't stand about the guy. It's terrific.
Don't be mean, Jeffrey.
So,
it's our one chance.
So for our 199th show, that's right, everybody, next week is number 200. So we're going to change it up this week, not because of celebration, but because Al is in New Zealand
He's
and recording.
Failed. He failed to make this happen for you.
Is he actually in New Zealand, or is he just saying that he's in New Zealand?
I've seen photo documentation.
Hmm.
He's actually, but though none of the photos have him in New Zealand so
far. Well, exactly.
So he's just copying pictures from the internet and posting them on Instagram.
Yeah. I mean, he's tagging the location, but anybody can do that.
Been there.
Yeah. Well, so to give everyone the bearings on what's happening here today, because you hear many voices saying many things. So first and foremost, it's a married couples night tonight on TWIM, everybody. It's very exciting. So
date night.
The one who started our show. Let's play games, guys. Who wants to play signs?
Monopoly.
Okay, so I'm joined here first and foremost by the Petersons. Joseph Peterson, say hello, Joseph.
Hello, everyone.
Joe has joined me on Sunday School Bonanza before, and he's also been a big help with a lot of back-end stuff on TWIM, so give him a warm welcome.
And from what I understand, the butt of a lot of Al's jokes.
Yeah, he keeps on referencing me, by the way, so this is my time to get back at him.
He doesn't like you.
I know.
That's mean.
And Marjorie, his wife.
Hello.
She's lovely.
Good. The fiery redhead. And none other than making her debut, my wife, Danielle. Hello.
Hi.
Woo-hoo.
I've been asking for this for so long. Thank you. Thank you.
This is going to be weird. Okay.
Although, Danielle, we have heard your voice yelling in the background on a couple of episodes.
Yeah, when he tries to talk about things that are just so random.
You're like the sensor
not allowed.
Pad. It's
not
awesome.
Allowed.
She's a good advisor, everyone, honestly. Sometimes I edit shows after the fact and remove certain bits of content. It happens.
It's your
own
fault.
You can just get foolish sometimes. You know, that's... You say too much, so, the train is going down the track.
Now everyone just wants the bloopers.
So how is everyone? It's banter time.
Well, we came over for puzzle night and we forgot the puzzle, so I guess we're going to do a podcast.
Yeah, well,
right?
It's raining.
Well, that's true.
It's a cold DC, everyone. You're all missing out. We live here in this beautiful land of our nation's capital, full of sleet and rain.
It's miserable outside.
Now, are you guys still going to go to Pittsburgh? You guys are going to Pittsburgh, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to brave the storm. It's snowing in Pennsylvania right now, so we're going to go ahead and do it.
So
we used to live in Utah, so we can't really complain. Everyone in Utah gets mad on Facebook when people on the East Coast complain about winter, so we won't do it.
I like it here. They shut down work. It's the best thing in the world.
That's because you work on a government schedule.
And I love it.
Yeah, don't we all wish we could
and
work on
it? And I love it because I work for government people. And so really, I go to work. I just don't have anything to do because it's Thanksgiving and nobody's
What are you guys doing for Thanksgiving, actually?
We're sitting around here. Danielle's going to make a bunch of pies, apparently, and I'll watch.
Homemade pies?
I'm only making two. It's going
to
be fun.
So we're just having dinner with some friends. And then we're going to see... The Hunger Games, Catching Fire.
I've heard that's very good.
The girl on fire. Katniss.
I'm
so excited.
I don't recognize any of the names. I read the books, and I've like forgotten everything. So
I have only read Catching Fire, actually.
What?
Yeah, because on my road trip to the East Coast when I was moving, my best friend who came with me was struggling to stay awake because I did all the driving, so she bought it. At a Barnes & Noble on the way, and she read the whole thing to me.
So you only know the middle story.
I do.
Why don't you spoil it?
No.
What happens?
I don't want to know what happens.
It's okay. I quit. I didn't read the end.
Of the third book?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, you didn't miss anything.
Good job, honey. 80% are all the way to the core.
Whoa.
Honey, your Christmas sign just fell down again.
It's okay. We'll move on.
Yeah, okay.
From a high five.
It looks like Christmas in here.
Anyway, so yeah, we're hanging out here. It's going to be nice, quiet Thanksgiving here. We've been traveling a lot lately, so it's nice to... veg out for a little bit.
Yeah, you and Al both. It's been pretty impressive. You've been able to still do your podcasts from all over the
this
world.
This is the commitment of This Week in Mormons, everyone. Lesser shows might just have irregular posting or scheduling or lame hosts or who knows what would happen. But we every single week, folks, for 199 straight weeks. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Well, you might have Lane hosts tonight.
You've kind of failed this week, honey.
Why is this a failure? It's just in a different format.
Okay.
So what are you
I'm
doing for 200?
I'm afraid of how my wife is going to make me. What are we going to do for 200?
Yeah, what's the build-up?
A lot of self-congratulatory rhetoric.
If this were This American Life, you'd be like replaying your favorite snippets from every past episode.
I've thought of that, but that would take me so long to go find those snippets.
I'd get an intern or something.
I've tried to do this with you, Joe.
Oh, wait, that was supposed to be me.
You're the intern I fired. I mean, come on. Come on. Can volunteers get fired? Yes, no.
Existential question.
I don't know what we're going to be doing next week. For our 100th show, we went through the title of all 199 episodes before that and reminisced, and that was a segment that went on for longer than it should have.
We've discussed the titles before, though. They're very clever, but terrible for SEO.
I've tried to be better about SEO of late.
I think the benefit is in keeping the clever titles because they're very funny.
You vote, listeners. Clever titles or ones that are more directly in line with what we discuss. Tell us at thisweekinmormons.com. Yeah.
It's very strange. So what else is going on?
I don't know. I'm very off my game with all of you people here.
It's because I'm sitting so close to you.
Get away from me.
They might need a reminder. For kicks and giggles this week, I looked up your meme online because I never had done that. And
We're really going there.
I just saw the picture of it, so it reminded me.
It's prominent in our household.
The picture on our bookshelf is not the meme. The picture on our bookshelf...
You are a meme.
...is the original photo of me with Pikachu.
Well, here's the funny thing about that.
It is not
during
the meme.
General Conference, this last conference, when we came over here to watch, somebody on Twitter has your photo with Pikachu as their Twitter avatar, whatever.
They owe you money, Jeff.
So I tweeted at them, and I said... Yeah, you do not have rights to this photo, and I'm actually sitting in the same room with that guy.
And then he tweeted a photo of the photo. That
yeah,
guy.
Yeah?
Dude.
And what happened after that?
He tweeted me back and said, that's cool. It kind of fizzled out. It was very anticlimactic.
Cool story, Joe.
Yeah, thanks.
Enjoyed that.
But it started out really promising.
Well, all right. Neat.
Neat.
Good. Fun.
So, Joe, how did it make you feel the first time you saw that meme?
I felt a little confused inside and wondering. People online are horrible. They're mean. Everybody immediately assumes they're like, oh, this dude is really in love with Pikachu.
That's funny, because when I saw it, I started crying laughing so hard.
Yeah.
I could not believe it.
But did you think this is the man I should marry?
No, definitely not. Definitely
it has made me doubt every meme I've ever seen since, because I don't know like what's real or what's not. I just don't.
It's like now you go to Awkward Family Photos and you say, wait a second.
Right.
How much of this is just some trickery in Lightroom? Come on.
It's true.
Yeah.
The girl that was, there was another famous meme, the Fridgerator. Have you seen the Fridgerator
I have
one?
Not seen the Fridgerator.
It's a rather large girl dressed up like Lara Croft, and somebody took that picture and called Fridgerator. But she wrote this epic essay on Salon or on what's that other one, Slate?
I think it was on Slate.
About what happens when you've become the butt of a nasty internet joke. I thought I would send it to you because you've also
you
become
I've
the butt of a nasty
dealing
internet
with
joke.
This. You love this,
he
don't
cries
you?
Himself to sleep sometimes.
Sorry I went there. I saw the picture.
I'm not ashamed. I embrace it. Go ahead. Google virginity. I choose you. It's there.
That's the phrase.
Everyone knows. I'm not ashamed.
It's even on Know Your Meme, which is like the meme central.
How do I rank?
Oh, I don't know.
Is it ranked or is it just a general
list? I have no
idea.
It's just on the website.
My coworker actually has on her computer at work without knowing that it was my husband. Wants,
what?
Yeah. Pretty funny. And wants an autographed photo. We'll make it happen.
Well, yeah, she should. Hey, that you could sell those on like Etsy or something. Homemade.
My own Etsy page. More people need Etsy pages.
Shop. Well, if you're a Mormon, you have to have an Etsy shop. Isn't that right?
Okay. Yeah.
See, rather than donate my old clothing that Danielle makes me throw away.
I did not make you.
She makes me.
You chose.
I will donate them to Etsy.
Lies.
And sell them to susceptible people. I should be making money.
I
found a way to make money.
I would buy that Dr. Pepper shirt because that's pretty awesome.
Why would I sell this? It has Dr. Pepper on it.
It looks old and filthy.
No, it's lovely. We're keeping that one forever.
Ah, fine.
She said I look sexy in it.
Well, I wouldn't want to take that away.
Her
we
actual
probably don't
words.
Have too many shirts that do that.
Okay, so should we get to
start.
Mormon news this week, everybody. Crazy things
what?
Going on. Yeah, we still do that on the show. We're not just going to stand here and just jibba-jabba.
All right, let's move on to that then.
Now, let's see. Big week. Let's see. Big things going on. Goodness, where do I even want to start with things this week? I want to start with no smoking at the Philadelphia Temple. Everyone, earth-shattering news that has not by any means been church policy for the past, I don't know, 80 or 90 years probably. Get this, according to Philly.com, construction at the temple site there in Philadelphia, which actually has something to show for it finally at this point, you know, walls and such.
Yeah, it's been a parking lot for the last years.
Yeah. The worker folks apparently are not supposed to, you know, smoke or drink coffee. Or swear. That's got to be... What about catcalls, I wonder? You know, to little passersby down there in Logan Circle.
Well, maybe if it's like a, you're so modest.
Modest are the hottest.
That'd probably be appropriate.
Yeah.
That'd probably be encouraged.
So I don't find this to be earth-shattering news. I mean, I think the church has had this policy for inside or outside of Utah. I believe I saw some stuff that said the church tried to find an LDS contractor in the area, but didn't have a lot of luck.
Well, in Philadelphia, I can't imagine why.
Well, they feel like that's sort of the go-to. Well, they're getting the
a temple.
They just said union workers. They couldn't find union
maybe
workers.
Maybe that's what it was, union workers. I'm sorry.
Well, but yeah. The headline also says caffeine, which is also sort of that gray area, which is, are they banning caffeine or is that just coffee?
The headline is classically misleading based on journalists.
Link
if you bait. Read if you read the article, it specifies coffee and says nothing about caffeine, but the headline says caffeine to reinforce stereotypes, incorrect ones,
they
I might
do that,
add,
don't they?
About Mormons, yeah.
Yeah.
And so the funny thing about this, though, it's one thing to have this story, but then we've found that Mormon media in general, and I guess including ourselves, has just run with it and published many articles about this, including none other than Satan's minion, Peggy Fletcher Stack.
Peggy Fletcher Stack, Salt Lake Tribune.
Good old Peggy wrote pretty much the exact same article as the one here on Philly. The Philly.com one is the earliest one as far as I can tell. It's the first one I saw about this story. And now I've seen
it's the OG post.
Whatever that means.
Original.
Gangsta? Yeah. Oh, original gangsta?
I'm kind of trying to keep up with the lingo of the day, but I just said it.
Joe studied journalism, so tell us about this, Joe. What does this mean Peggy Fletcher Stack basically is writing the same article?
Yeah, is she a stealer? Like, or robber?
Or is this just the
plagiarism?
New, or is this just the new normal?
Every
it's
journalist...
It's the new Peggy.
Every journalist at the New York Times will cry foul that everyone steals their articles and writes all of their spinoffs from it.
Yeah.
Well, and then,
it's kind of the way it is, though, now. Yeah. Or you write, like, link-bait articles where you just say, you know, you write the same headline that says, hey, this and this and this is going on. Click the link to read the whole thing.
It's funny
just
that
so
we couldn't get away with
site.
That in high school when we wanted to do our three-paragraph or three-prong, five-paragraph essays.
Because how to be like, let me tell you
I'm just gonna
about
this
the Scarlet
book.
Letter. So, if you're interested in, you know, adultery and social mores and things like that, it's a great book. Click the link and go to the library and read more to find out for yourself. I mean, that's not really...
Yeah, and then you get like 25,000 views and
it's
bam,
smart for
good
page views.
So, this also talks about how they do prayers, right?
Yes.
Okay.
You're speaking authoritatively. You tell me.
I'm asking the question. But I think it's interesting because they make it sound like everyone is praying in these like group prayers.
Wait, like who is praying? Like the construction workers?
Like they make the article makes it sound like that, but it's really only saying like the
foreman.
The foreman is opening with prayer.
You know,
maybe it's
and
like a
like,
new meaning to whistle while you work. They're trying to be like, say a prayer while you work.
Yeah. Like we don't know if those foremen or those people might be LDS and that's why they're praying. Like we don't know if they're really involving everyone, but it's just interesting.
I sense an enzyme, like a back of the enzyme article coming in like 10 years when it's like
look who
I was
converted.
A construction worker on the Philadelphia Temple and I wasn't allowed to bring in my Diet Coke.
You're a jerk, Joseph. It sounds like you're making fun of someone's conversion
no, that
story.
Would be, that would be
you
one of those.
Hate
those stories
the missionary
always bring
efforts.
Me to tears, I'm telling you.
Do they?
I skip right to the end of the enzyme.
He's a weeper.
I am a weeper. I'm a little bit of a boob when it comes to
no, you're
the
not.
Inspirational stories.
No, actually, that's a very true story.
I am.
You stand...
I know I'm being emotionally manipulated and I still fall for it every time.
It's okay. I cry at commercials. Jeff makes fun of me.
Yes.
You cry more than commercials.
I cry at everything.
You should have seen this woman during Les Mis last year. Oh my goodness.
Well, I mean, it was Les Mis. Let's be honest. I mean, who didn't
A contrived,
cry?
Senseless, sure, but don't get me started.
I mean, I agree with you. Contrived,
I love
yeah.
the songs. I can sing Bring Him Home better than the next guy, unless that next guy is my brother, in which case I can't, or
what's his name?
Or that guy who sings
Colm Wilkinson?
Yeah, or the Jonas brother.
Oh, you're definitely better than him.
What's his name in that movie?
I have no
idea. Ferrari? I don't know what's his name.
Ferrari Jonas?
Fierro? No, I'm thinking of Wicked now. Fierro.
Oh, was he in that?
No, he's not in that. I'm just confusing names.
Oh.
It's okay. We can move on.
All right. Joseph, give us something.
All right. Well, let me see. Oh, Walla Walla, Washington. My home state, Washington. Although I've never been to Walla Walla. But I hear they have sweet onions. Am I right?
I don't know what that
was. I don't know what that reference was that?
Walla Walla is famous for... You never heard of a Walla Walla onion?
No.
I'm from a good part of America.
Apparently, they are like only known for their onions, except for now they have a new ward.
And an awesome name, Walla Walla.
Walla Walla, Washington. Yeah, so it's actually onions, just like...
Let's go. It's like Gilroy for their garlic. Wonderful.
Gilroy, California?
Yeah.
Oh.
Garlic capital of the world.
Oh, see, I've never
it's amazing.
Heard of that.
Drive-through, fields, smells, wonderful.
Wow.
An extra sensory experience.
So I'm not sure why this is like... maybe it's just local news.
Because I put it on the thing just to have it.
All right, well, the church is expanding in rural Washington, so that's good news.
Yay!
So they have a new ward. That's what we've learned.
Or two.
That segues right into that church thing. Go for it, Jeff.
What church thing? Are you being funny?
No, I'm...
Oh, the buildings.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a cool...
I'm leading you into conversation.
Where is that?
Mormon chapels.
Mormon chapels around the world. We like this, right? Remember, we were just looking at it.
Yes. This is very cool.
Marge, tell us what you think of it.
Madagascar is my favorite, hands down. I love it.
I was skeptical because... I guess where I grew up, all the Mormon churches looked exactly the same. So when it said a slideshow of Mormon churches, I'm like, oh, goody. It's like track homes in Phoenix. But actually, it's not true. They're beautiful buildings.
Yeah, tract housing in Arizona is like proof of an opposition in all things.
That's true.
Tract housing itself is bad, but in Arizona...
I have literally pulled up to the wrong house. I've had friends that live...
You're like, ah, yes, a pink structure with gravel instead of a lawn. This is the one. I'm here.
Why doesn't my key work? Yes, no, it's true. It's embarrassing.
But I thought you were from Washington, Joe. I'm so confused.
I was born uh-huh. in Washington, grew up in Arizona.
So
very multicultural.
So that whole I'm from Washington, this matters to me was really just grasping at straws. That's like me saying, this story is about Orange County, California, because I was born there. Oh, wait, no, I was raised there,
everyone
too.
Everyone that listens to the podcast knows that you're obsessed with your beloved...
I am obsessed with Orange County.
You even introduce it as my beloved hometown of, or whatever you say.
I'm sure
the
Danielle...
The word beloved is involved.
Danielle has plenty to say about this.
Yeah, he talks about how much he loves it, but yet he never wants to move back there.
It's hell, people. Don't go there. It has no soul. It's
if
awful.
Somebody says, you know, oh, I'm craving a Valencia orange, you'll be like, oh, Valencia, that's a city in my beloved home state of California.
Valencia, the city, is where Magic Mountain is. But the Valencia orange was actually grown in Orange County and packaged in my hometown. I went to Valencia High School.
He used to be able to smell the oranges when he was growing up.
I could, actually.
Arizona, too. There's like a season where all the orange blossoms.
So anyway, chapels that dot the globe. It's a thing by the newsroom, just put out by the church. I like it because I think it just shows, you know, for many of us here that have been in the States our whole lives or whatever, you tend to have a pretty good notion of what Mormon chapels look like for the most part. So when you see the way they're constructed around the world, you quickly realize that the majority of the saints here outside of the U.S., meet in very different looking meeting houses than what we're used to. Typically smaller, typically things where like a chapel also functions as a cultural hall. They can convert them. I saw that
more than
a lot.
One story. I remember when I first saw first two-story church building.
You go to one right now.
I know. Well, I do now, but I'm saying I remember when I saw my first one and I was like, mind blown.
Well, I also think it's great because they also touch on the temple and say, you know, we don't go to the temple every Sunday. Temples are actually closed on Sunday. So I know as a... Like growing up, I always had people ask me if I went to the temple for church, and it just kind of explains it a little bit further. And I like that.
Okay, I like the one in Albania. That one looks cool.
Whoa, check out this Hyde Park one in London. I've never seen that before.
It's been there for a long time, actually. Oh. Yeah,
it looks like it kind of looks like a temple.
It does, yeah.
That's cool. That's a cool one. What else we got in the chute? What else is going on?
Talk into the microphone, people.
What else we got in the shoot? What's going on in the world of Mormonism, Jeff?
Let's talk about 28 tips for marriage. This.
We're all four of us married. Do we need tips?
I feel like that's an even seven tips per person. It's perfect.
Oh, well, there you go. Are we going to go through all of them?
I don't know if I have that in me.
Jeff, have you read all of them?
I don't think I do either.
No, I haven't read this because I don't need them. You know this.
I feel like once you are married, it's like the effort is over.
Yeah, you could just quit. Just stop now.
You don't need to continue to court your spouse.
Exactly.
Well, let's see. Express gratitude.
Choose your love. Love your choice.
Yes, Danielle, read these to us. Marge, you can read some
too. Wait, actually, I like that one a lot. What are we mocking right now?
I don't know what we're mocking. Wait, so actually, isn't this...
Wait a minute, I don't want to make fun of this. The first little bit of it.
But no. It seems... Is it like kind of about like how there's a lot of advice blogs and things like that in the world, but these are actually words that have been crystallized from general authorities? Yep, or
these are from general from LDS they're, leaders.
They're all LDS oh. leaders, yeah.
Well, see, there's something there. I think that's kind of cool.
They are good. They're
oh, yeah. And they're in clever little like graphic ooh, memes and things.
You can print that out.
This would not be the modern day church of 2013 if we did not use clever little graphics for just everything now. I mean, yeah, so it's...
Well, I love typography, so it kind of suits me very well. Celebrate and commemorate each day together as a treasured gift from heaven.
Russell M. Nelson.
I wonder if he like started laughing at his cleverness after that, because he likes to do that.
Hey, they gave him a pretty meme or whatever.
That's very pretty.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else we got?
First observe, then serve.
How should you serve me, Jeff?
Yeah, let's make some like real life applications.
Let's
here.
Not do that. No, that's a terrible idea.
How can I serve you?
Actually, you're pretty good at that. Like today, I asked you to get me a cup of water, and you did. I liked it.
What a champ! Look at you.
On the first asking?
Half the time, she doesn't even have to ask. I just do
oh
things.
Oh my gosh!
I'm a very proactive husband. It's true.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
No, definitely. You're a great husband.
If you embarrass
Thank
me
you.
On this program,
I'm
honey,
not embarrassing
I will
you.
Ruin your
You'll
public
never
image
invite
forever.
Me back.
Maybe. Okay.
Oh, here's a good one. This is Richard G. Scott, who has that meme of I don't always give the best talks in conference. I
thought that was Elder Holland.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
is.
Yeah, it is.
I get them mixed up sometimes.
Deflated.
Well,
how can you get those two mixed up? You have Elder Holland as the firebrand.
It's the jowls.
And then you have, Richard G. Scott.
You must go see your bishop.
Richard G. Scott gives someone.
I like Scott.
I love Elder Scott.
Me too.
I did not appreciate him as much when I was, I guess, less spiritually mature and younger. I thought his talks were just kind of boring. But now that I'm
a guilt trip.
Now that I'm older, I think some of his talks are the best ones in conference.
They're really good.
Now that you're married, you can relate.
I have to say, Elder Hales, he kind of has that monotone voice that I used to always fall asleep during his conference talks. But then you go back and read them, and they're like my favorite talks every time.
It's true. His delivery is not as great, but Elder Hales writes, and his books he's written, excellent as well.
I haven't ventured that far.
You should read them. I always recommend his book, Return, to anyone who has not read it. It's not just a compilation of talks like many books by the general authorities and the brethren. It's a book that he sat down and wrote as a book.
Those are rare.
I dig it.
Love is a fragile thing, and some elements in life can try to break it. Much damage can be done if we are not in, what is it? Tender hands, caring hands. That one kind of got weird at the end. Jeffrey R. Holland.
I wanted to be like, love is like a butterfly. Why doesn't say that?
All right. Well, these are cool.
If it's too loose, it'll fly away. But if you hold it too tight,
it'll die.
It'll die. Do not be
Maybe
too attentive
the
to your
hand,
love.
Tender hand.
I like this one. Well, okay.
So go look at Good those.
Deal.
They're sweet.
Oh, I think we should talk about this BYU site, BYU Crushes.
Oh yeah. Yes.
I have just learned about this minutes ago.
It's amazing. So in October, at some point, they started this Facebook page, and you can, Jeff, I don't know actually the details of it. I just know that it has great posts.
You submit, this is all it is. You anonymously submit whatever you want to say to a crush you might have, via just a Google form, and then they will post it anonymously. So like you said before we started recording, Joe, it's a lot like missed connections on Craigslist.
Which are the most entertaining thing to read on Craigslist, bar none.
I once took part in a photography project where they recreated scenes from missed connections.
Oh, that's
and
brilliant.
I recorded voiceover.
Oh, that's brilliant.
For what was written.
And clever.
It wasn't even my idea, but it was terrific.
This must be posted on
there was
on
footage
the
of us like sitting in and out, looking up at some girl with a wrinkly napkin. This whole thing, it was brilliant. Because that's what it says, like, I saw you at In and Out. You had
a wrinkly
your
napkin.
Your napkin had a wrinkle, and you had the most beautiful smile on your face. I've been thinking about that smile all week.
Yeah, well, but this one is almost even better because they actually post people's names, like they know who they are.
Yeah, that's
what? So, we have one mutual friend who likes it. And it's a former roommate who might have replaced me when I moved out of our house.
What? So I got married. Wait, who? Oh, I'm going there right now.
Whatever. Anyway, I like it.
Sorry, go, honey.
So this one, Anna Ritchie. If you are half as amazing as you look, then you are the most amazing woman ever because you look perfect.
I know an Anna Ritchie.
You do?
I do.
You should tag her in this. Maybe it's her true love.
I'm going to.
You should.
Okay.
You should absolutely tag her. Well, so when I first saw this, I thought it, you know, BYU crushes. I thought it was some lame BYU pro sports.
I thought it was a BYU like, basketball
BYU
page.
Crushes. So I was like, yeah, I'm not going to click on that. I'm not a fan.
I mean, nothing but
this is like overheard at BYU, which is an equally great and entertaining Facebook page.
It's the passive aggressive way to eternal salvation.
Like, exactly.
I can't walk up and just talk to you. No, no. I see you sitting on a bench every Thursday.
The troubling trend is that there seems to be a lot of like women who post on this that are like, I've already determined that we're going to get married. And
no, I feel like it's a very even ratio.
Oh, really?
Look at this. McCall Clark, you are awesome as bacon.
That is the best. That's for real.
Well, there's more. You are as awesome as bacon tastes, and bacon is the best thing ever. So that means you are the best thing ever, too. Actually, you are even a little... Oh, shoot. I got interrupted by a phone call.
I have to find it. We have to know.
Okay. Oh, I got it. I got it. I declined. I'm sorry, Lindsay. So actually, you're even a little better... than bacon, and that is saying a lot considering how awesome bacon is. The end.
I feel like we should dedicate the rest of the show to just reading all of this. This is amazing.
I'm loving the Bailey from the flannel party last night. You're beautiful and very sweet.
Oh.
Oh, here's a good one. Here's
how
a good
do
one.
I to have about. A flannel party.
Kevin Getz, I think you may be my mission papers because I just want to complete you. I'm just waiting on your call. But in the end, my only mission is to wife you so hard.
Wow.
That's very...
That's...
Who doesn't
century?
Want to be wifed hard?
Marge, I think this one's for you.
I just want to be owned.
Uh-oh.
Are you ready?
Pawned.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to replace your name because it was obviously meant for you before you got married. Your hair must be red because you're flaming hot.
That is true.
Joe, did you write that to me?
I did.
Aww.
Yeah.
Aww.
You guys, don't give up on this BYU crush. It works.
Here's one that seems to be a little bit more angry in tone, which is interesting. Connor Adams. We spent lots of time together, but no date has happened. I'm sick of holding back these feelings. And then in all caps, pay attention to my hints.
I'm pretty sure
McKay
Coppins wrote that, I'm pretty sure. Right? Definitely McKay Coppins.
I'm a little
production.
Bit concerned for this gal who says, James, the social dance instructor, I'm kind of really obsessed with you. Your class is my favorite class for a reason. Let's get married and then we can dance together into the eternities.
Okay, I have to read this one. Joseph Rich, I've been thinking for like 20 minutes, but I'm not witty enough to come up with a cute and clever joke about your last name. Something about wanting to be a rich ghoul. Just date me, okay?
I like
and then
these are good.
Cameron Stewart, I can't grow a mustache, but I've always wondered what they feel like. Help me out with that, you beautiful man.
Oh,
that's kind of
I keep finding the dirty ones.
It's because of all those dirty mustache wearers at BYU that just should stop.
So what I encourage everyone to do is to go on there and then actually post something and see if it gets put up on the meme. Just mess around. Say like
whole Twim army should go and post on BYU crushes.
Yeah, that's what
amazing.
I want you all to see. Everyone go like the page and then send them emails. I wanted to say stuff like, you look like a great intercourse partner.
It'd be like,
let's make it a reality.
That's terrible.
It's not too far from
keep
what's already
innocent,
on there.
Keep it innocent, Jeffrey. It's BYU.
BYU is not innocent.
It's like when Colbert told all of his viewers to go and change the Wikipedia page for elephant or something like that.
And they do.
We should stage it. It's like a coup.
I wish we had the poll of Colbert, but we can.
The people come through.
I'm still totally distracted by BYU crushes, and I'm finding that the people that are engaging with the posts are far more like entertaining. Like a post saying, Jeffrey Whitfelt, my Aaliyah Hona is pointing straight to you.
And
And the comment says, not bad, not bad.
Someone was impressed. Was it Jeffrey? Oh no.
That's too bad.
All right. I want to talk about Pope Francis.
Oh, me too. Good.
I love Pope Francis, right?
I do too.
It's funny being a Mormon and then feeling like I have this great affection for the Pope. Because in many ways, we share a lot with the Catholics, but in many ways, we're diametrically opposed in some doctrinal circumstances. But
in less than I think we always.
Yeah, 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 for sure. But I think Pope Francis has been very, very, very interesting since he assumed the papacy, as we say. There's some articles. What's been floating around? You put some stuff also, Joe. There's a lot of stuff floating around, like whether... Let's see. Let's talk about some things.
I think Jana Rees has the like, quintessential...
Can LDS leaders learn from the Pope? Is
right,
that
yeah.
Okay.
Her flunking sainthood column.
Take us there. Take us there.
Okay, so she starts it off. I have Pope envy. She confessed. She's trying to get the whole Catholic motif going on. I confessed to a friend over breakfast. A Catholic friend.
Ha! Because confession.
See? You see?
Yeah. Yeah, I see what happened.
So, yeah. Anyway, she very cleverly, and she lays out a good point that the Pope is really kind of going out on a dramatic limb to prove a point, and people are really resonating with it, or at least so she claims. There are some other articles, namely in Deseret News, which I can't remember who owns Deseret News or anything like that.
I have no idea who does that.
Well, anyway, so they kind of very directly refute the points that she makes, which is very interesting, saying that Pope Francis is not, in fact, boosting U.S. Catholic attendance.
That's actually true, though. The stats show that U.S. Catholic attendance has just stayed the same.
Whereas her claim was people are essentially flooding to the pews and
well, her claim is kind of that he's clearly more visible, too, right?
We're still number one, is basically what they're saying.
We're number one. I brought my foam hand anyway.
But I understand this one because I feel like, you know, how much of President Monson do we really get to see on a general day-to-day basis, like in the affairs of the church?
Right. They're like still circulating that one video of him like at a jazz game or something. But yeah, that was years ago.
And in some ways, we almost live basically conference to conference, not really having much exposure to our leaders. So in that sense, I'm not going to say that's not what the Lord wants, but I think it is an interesting thing to point out. Considering Pope Francis has been much more engaged and really, really just going after stuff he doesn't like in the church and being very vocal about it and being very, I mean, did you see that video a couple of weeks ago when that boy, when Pope was giving like mass or something in St. Peter's Square and this little boy stuck around and wouldn't sit down and just like hung out with the Pope?
I didn't see that.
Great video. And it's the kind of thing I think would happen in our church just at the same time, because we know everyone has a great love for kids. This kid hugged the Pope and wouldn't leave. So he just sat there holding his leg and hugging him and sitting in his chair. And the Pope just kind of put him there and said, yeah, just hang out while I do this. No big deal. It's cool to see that stuff.
I wonder if people are comparing. I mean, I don't know if it was at conference or some other church meeting where a young boy went up. I don't know if it was sort of like a photo op, but he went up to the, I guess, what is that called? The counter?
The rostrum?
The rostrum. And reached his hand up and President Monson reached out. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of like a similar...
And it makes me wonder how cynical I am as a Latter-day Saint. When I see that sometimes, and I admit part of me feels like, nice photo op, guys. Looks real good.
That was my first thought.
Bad that that's maybe my gut impulse instead of thinking like, awesome. We've got our leaders. We've got a kid just walking up and talking to him.
When probably that's, you know, I mean, it could very well could have been that's what it was too. But I mean, I'd also like to know what is the age differential between the Pope and President Monson. I mean, President Monson's pretty old. I mean, he's probably slowing down. Jeff's finding out.
We'll keep talking.
But, which is interesting.
76. And I think President Monson's what, 80?
Yeah, so there's a difference. You know, he's losing some steam. So anyway, so she, you know, she basically has Pope envy. There's that other picture of
10-year difference between the two of them.
Of him hugging that incredibly deformed guy.
Oh yeah,
You know, and sort of very symbolically and visually, you know, doing the whole Jesus thing. Really, I mean, that's what Christ did.
And so the other interesting thing, and I don't think that we suffer from this. I don't want to say the Catholics suffer from it, but obviously we go for reasonably austere church buildings. Our temples are beautiful. With a purpose, you know, that's to the Lord. But our church buildings are noted for being very, you know, just basically just business buildings. I mean, there's nothing very special or nifty about them.
It leans to the corporate
In a way.
Efficiency.
It's just efficiency is the way to look at it. Utilitarian in some instances. But I love this article. It's come out here. The Pope is basically saying no more business as usual in the church, like for the Catholic Church. And I see a lot of parallels with what's going on within the Latter-day Saints. And the Pope even said, quote, I prefer a church which is bruised, hurting, and dirty because it has been out on the streets, rather than a church which is unhealthy from being confined and from clinging to its own security.
See, that absolutely resonates with me. That is like very cool.
I think it's very easy to become that way as Latter-day Saints. Not that the church tells us we should, but I think we're naturally insular as Latter-day Saints, given our history, and we have to work to get out there and just be dirty and be a part of the community. And
yeah, but you say that, but think about all of the disaster relief that our church is doing. Isn't that the same thing as getting dirty? How many Catholic churches do you see pulled together when disasters happen?
Catholic Relief Services is one of the largest charities in the world.
Okay.
Sorry, honey.
I'm just saying, I haven't seen them in the news.
I work with them like
but,
every
but,
day.
But I mean, you're right. Like, there is a lot of
they just don't call like as much attention to it as we do.
They don't wear those yellow shirts like
which
we do.
Which might be like the right kind of way to do it, you know? I mean,
well, we've had that debate on the show before. You know, is it better for us to have the good PR for that we're doing good work so that our neighbors know that we're involved? Or is it better
or
to just quiet?
Our right hand doesn't know what our left hand
is. Yeah.
Know,
or is it better to just quietly serve and not draw attention to it because that's. And I understand both sides of the argument because we benefit the church by letting it publicly be known that we're good citizens of the world and doing our part.
Well, I feel like, though, like to that debate and in the context of the Pope and things, in her article, Jana Rees talks about that. I just want to quote this. I don't see this act as something manufactured for the cameras. Francis was out among the people in the square with crowds who had sought his presence for a blessing. The Pope intentionally put himself in a situation where desperate people would be, and you know, if people are taking pictures, then that, you know, that does have the effect of good PR, but that's also kind of what a Pope is supposed to do, is intentionally, or any sort of church leader that yeah. preaches caring for the needy and poor and things like that, is putting yourself intentionally in those situations where you can help those that stand in the need of the greatest help.
Where was the Pope Mobile? How can he just walk around like this?
There's still a Pope.
He's breaking all kinds of rules.
The Pope Mobile's
been
upgraded.
He's wild.
He cooks his own food.
Stop.
Sometimes he drives his own, like, what did it say? Like
he drives his own mobile.
Yeah, but it's like a little beater car, like from the 80s or something.
It's like that Arrested Development episode with the Pope Mobile.
Oh, wait, I can't. Oh, yes, I can.
Yeah, it's a good one.
That is a good
I'm the only one that doesn't know Arrested Development. In
Sorry.
I don't get the joke.
Okay, some other sad news. We saw last week, there was a suicide at the Las Vegas temple. I'm assuming you saw this too, guys. Right?
Yeah, I saw the headline.
Yeah. And there was a lot of debate, like, did this actually happen in the temple? Was it, 'cause it says it was a courtyard, so it was kind of fuzzy. Like, was this, basically everyone wondered, was this past the recommend point, I think, was sort of when people decide whether you're inside or outside of the temple. And so we believe it was not. We had Danielle and I were actually with some friends, a guy from Vegas who knows the temple well, and he said, no, it was in a courtyard before you actually go past the recommend desk. I mean, it doesn't make it any less tragic, but obviously it's
but
just
yeah, still in the courtyard on the grounds, right?
Yeah,
oh, yeah, yeah definitely yeah. on the grounds.
And he was the son of a federal appeals court judge. Mm-hmm. What is that all about?
Well, they talked that he had been suffering from like mental illness and stuff. So, yeah. I mean, you can't blame their parents for that, really. Hopefully,
no, absolutely not. But was this guy a member?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
So that's sad. Well, that's I mean, sad
but, so my mind is going. It's the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, which is the one that was tied up into a lot of those, gay marriage.
And
things.
This judge was involved in
right,
in a
yeah.
lot of that,
and
yeah.
and is that was this his like sort of coming out and suicide at the same time? Or
I don't have anything that says that he was a homosexual or anything. Does it say that?
I haven't read the article. That's why I'm asking.
No, it just said that he had suffered from mental illness.
Just depression.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But, Joe, it's good to know that you think people are depressed. It means they're gay.
No. Well, I mean,
you think this is an act of rebellion against his father?
Well, no. There was that other gay
kid. This is like a Lifetime movie,
Joe. That committed suicide in front of the church building.
Yeah.
So that's where my thought went. But, yeah.
We don't know.
Ah, interesting. And sad. Very sad.
It is very sad.
Oh, Danielle loves this one. So there is a Muslim benefactor who I don't know if he lives in Salt Lake City or something like that. Yeah, he's the president of the Muslim Society of Greater Salt Lake City. And he has pledged to match donations. Oh, sorry, it's an anonymous donor. And this was but they're in Salt Lake. An anonymous donor has pledged to match donations up to $100,000 for the church's relief efforts in the Philippines. That's, you know, like he's saying, I'll match the efforts. So if you guys donate 100 G's, I, too, will donate 100 Gs. If you only donate $5, that is the limit to my charity.
Apparently. So that's ridiculous. I mean, if he's really not going to give them the full amount that he will...
Well, he's just going to match.
Yeah, but...
It's like matching a 401k.
I mean, this isn't like a public radio annual giving drive where it's like, match the Diane Rehm show and we'll give this much money.
I can see him trying to get people to donate just as much as him, but for him to cut it off at, oh, I only got 200, so I'm only going to give you 200.
I'm sure he would still end up sending.
I imagine he'll still give everything.
Yeah. If maybe not, it's just a way to sort of encourage other people to jump on board.
But you made a good point that it's like, why doesn't he just donate $100,000? Just who cares?
I feel
just
like what is exactly the news here? It says very upfront in the headline, a Muslim benefactor.
It's the fact that he's Muslim and in Utah, right?
Yeah. And helping the church.
No, he's not helping the church. He's helping that country.
He's helping the church's relief efforts. He's matching them.
Right.
Well,
the church has probably already given over $100,000. LDS Philanthropies is like a well-established.
Right.
It's like giving to Catholic relief services. It's not, in essence, giving directly to the church. It's to a relief effort or, the Red Cross or something. But I just find that's interesting why do they say Muslim benefactor when they could just say, it's like, back in the 40s when they're like, so-and-so, a black man, when it didn't really have any sort of relation to the outcome of the article.
And the same thing happens to us. You read entire articles that'll just mention that they're Mormon, even though that has no bearing on the story. It's just they do. Because you don't read other articles that say, so-and-so, a Methodist, happened to believe. It's just...
Catholics still get that a little bit. We get that a lot.
YOLO journalism.
Yeah.
YOLO.
Interesting.
Did you say YOLO, Jeff?
YOLO.
YOLO journalism.
You only live once.
It's you only live once journalism.
You are so proud of yourself for that.
That was actually on my trivia today. My trivia game.
Danielle did a pub quiz today. They did remarkably well. I wanted to come in there and be their ringer, but I wasn't able to.
It was at work. I wasn't actually at a pub. Don't worry.
There's no shame in being in a pub.
Pub.
I spent most
in the middle of the day.
I spent most of grad school in a pub.
A gastro pub.
Not drinking, but just watching my classmates drink.
Oh, see, because when you say that you spent most of grad school in a pub, I immediately thought that you were just sloshed the whole time.
That's what I would think.
Right, yeah.
But I was just hanging out watching them get sloshed.
It's the appearance of evil, Jeff.
When your professor says, let's just go have class at the pub today, what are you going to do? No, sorry, guy. I don't want to sit there.
Well, I knew once of a professor at BYU who wanted to show a clip of The Simpsons, and half the class walked out.
No!
True story. Simpsons is evil.
Well, you walked out too, Joe, didn't you?
No, I wasn't in that class.
Oh, okay.
I would have.
Yeah.
I watched that filth.
We make fun of it, but in some ways, in other ways, it's nice to see when you go somewhere where there's larger groups of people who might not be afraid to at least stand up for what they believe in and abide by it.
It's usually nicer to see when the stakes are a little higher.
I agree with that. But like more when I wasn't living in Provo, did I see people walk out of movies and stuff like that. And I wasn't thinking like, oh, you sissies. But it's like, hey, if this is a place where people are comfy, just like, no, this is stupid. I'm not doing a part of this. I'm not in the place to mock somebody just because of that. I do agree that The Simpsons might be a minor example for
in high school, I remember they were like rated R movies that our teachers would show. And I would have to get up and leave because I didn't.
That's always the worst because when you're the only one, you say, yeah, I don't want to watch this movie because.
We watched Romeo and Juliet in 10th grade, like the 1960s version.
The one that shows boobs?
Yeah, except our teacher was like, I'm going to fast forward here because it has a little bit of nudity, even though it's tastefully done. And she's like, okay, it's done. And she pushes play right at Juliet's close-up of her breasts. It was...
It's not a
she
close
was
up.
Mortified.
She reaches up
it's
to
burned
grab
into
her
your
shawl.
Mind, just like porn.
It is. If I close my eyes, I see it. It's horrible.
Speaking of softcore porn, let's go to. So there's just this.
Let's go to environmentalism.
Yeah, you might have seen this. Well, we got to wrap up soon. You might have seen this going around the internet the past couple of days. The Matt Walsh blog, and as far as we can tell, Matt is not LDS. What did you say? It was Catholic, honey? Is that what you described?
I don't know. His wife was wearing a tube top dress. They were in a chapel of some sort. It wasn't church.
But we
LDS.
Don't, they're probably not LDS.
But his headline doesn't say his religion, so there's no way that we can know.
But it says married men. Now, married men, I would like to expand this to really just all men seeking to be in relationships of any kind, but it's okay.
That's a good expansion.
Married men, your porn habit is an adultery habit. Discuss.
Oh, that's a broad claim.
Is your porn habit adultery? Joseph, I'm asking you a direct question.
I don't know.
No, it's interesting. I haven't read the article yet, but what do you think?
Well, I think considering that adultery is also an emotional disloyalty, I can see how, that sort of sucks away all of your emotional attention, not just your physical attention. So I think I could agree with that.
Well, think about how... Sorry, do you want to say something?
No, go for it, Jeff.
Well, I mean, think about how weird it really is when you think about it. I can't imagine... for either gender, sitting there and knowing that your spouse is just like, yeah, just spend all this time just looking over images and videos of of X, Y, and Z. And it's just like, it's cool. It doesn't mean anything. It's blah, blah, blah. Like, I just don't understand that mindset. People can maybe explain it to me, but it just seems, it does. I understand that argument that it is adultery in one way or another, because like Marge said, you know, it's, what are you thinking? Where's your heart at? Where are your thoughts? I mean, are you sitting there focused on your spouse and that's it? You know, you're not.
Yeah. Don't you feel like that would just make your spouse feel worthless in a way? Yeah. Like they're not giving you what you need, and how terrible is that? And,
or it's a dark thing for the individual. I mean, you don't want to, you know. I always like it when, I mean, he's a religious guy, this Matt Walsh, you know.
I like his articles, honestly.
When people in sort of the secular conversations of the world are like, you know, that stuff that like society says is not that big of a deal. Actually, like, it is kind of bad. Like, we can collectively rise above it. It's an awkward conversation to have. Sometimes, you know, it's difficult, but let's talk about it. Let's rise above it. And let's just be better men. I think that's always, you know, welcome, and I think that's cool. Yeah.
He closes by saying, real men don't look at pornography. That's his final look. So
remember that, Jeff.
Okay. But while we need to stress, I think it is important, though, on top of that, to stress compassion, to understand that people who deal with these addictions do so in sometimes a very troubling way, and in a way where they don't necessarily mean to demean a spouse or anything like that. You know,
that's a really good addition.
There are very deep levels of things here. That doesn't mean it's okay. So I wouldn't want anyone who's listening, if there's trouble with things, don't think like, I'm not a real man, I'm a horrible person because of this. That's what Satan wants you to think. Satan wants you to beat yourself up over your own shortcomings and then not work on them. And so, you know, it's not that porn's okay, but look at it like any other weakness you might have or issue to resolve, and work through it, and don't just try to sweep it under a rug and feel like garbage about it the whole time. And then just continually succumb to it because you feel like garbage.
Well, and maybe not to make too trite of it, but it's sort of like, you know, a culture of going to the bar after work and having a few too many beers and be like, oh, you know, it's just beer. It's not a big problem. You know, it's fine. I don't like beat up my wife or anything like that. But like, you know, that's just sort of over time, it's degrading and it just wears someone away. And I mean, obviously, you know, that's not as talked about as much in the church because, you know, it's more, for some reason, you know, alcohol is more publicly avoided. And I feel like porn is definitely more of a deeper issue that, you know, people in the church struggle with and have a problem with.
So. Just go to the library.
And I was going to point out, I think that with any addiction,
that was a reference to Al. Sorry.
Not all approaches. Sorry.
Just go to the library, guys. Shut your computer down. It's over.
Oh, right.
Just go to the library. Yeah. It's the only option.
Sorry, what?
No, I was just saying that I don't think that every approach works for everybody when it comes to any addiction. And so I think, like this guy talking about pornography being, you know, adultery might be the thing that sparks a desire in somebody to finally make a change, whereas that might not be the correct motivation for somebody else. I just think hearing about all of the different avenues to escape or to recover is just helpful to see it from a new light every time. So
I remember once I saw Elder Bednar speak at like a state, you know, a small like state conference type thing just for YSA. And someone asked him, of course, they said, like, you know, tell us about your wife, his wife, Susan. And he said, he's like, you know what the best thing is about her? He's like, I just don't want to disappoint her. Like, I love her so much that he said, I want to be a good boy because I don't want to basically be a schmuck who disappoints her through stupid behavior. I'm paraphrasing. But he was very blunt.
I hope he said schmuck.
A jabroni. But he was very but he was very frank about it. But I loved it, too, because it's a good way to look at things sometimes. Say, like, look, you love somebody. And, you know, if the one thing keeping you on the wagon is just the sheer will of, like, I love this person and don't want to disappoint them. If that's what you have to grab onto, then grab onto that and run with it. You know, it's what works.
Although in the comments, there's one that says, Matt, you may want to follow this up with how equating porn with adultery has created a huge loophole that has allowed, quote, Christian wives to manipulate their husbands into committing a sin they could divorce them over. Which is basically to say, you know, a lot of women might not be able to deal with a husband who looks at porn. And if in their minds it's as bad or as equal to adultery, then they'd be like, well,
if it was legally like binding as adultery,
right? Exactly. Yeah. Then I'm going to file for divorce. And I don't think that that's always fair either.
Joe, tell us about Deseret News going national.
Oh, I saw this last night, and
so excited.
No, I really am. This is kind of crazy. So, okay, the New York Times has their New York version, then they have their national version, and then they have their international version. I mean, it's the New York Times. But, I mean, they have a lot of different versions. It's just interesting to see little old Deseret News come out with, by all accounts, what looks kind of like a competitor to our beloved Meridian magazine, but, you know, less overtly religious.
But what's the difference here? I mean, don't they have like a national section already? Where, I mean, they cover national news in the Deseret Book. It's not like it's only confined, Deseret Book, Deseret News. It's not like it's confined just to right. Utah. No, so this I is mean, a, they
this
do
is
stuff.
Their Deseret News national beta edition is not just the national news section. It's a new national newspaper, albeit digital, that focuses on one, two, three, four, six specific topics. And I mean, they might run these same stories in their regular edition newspaper, but it's mostly set for a non-Utah centric audience and things like that. So it's generally a
national
edition.
Do they have bureaus? I feel like you have to have a bureau to be legit.
I feel like they need to open one up.
We should
here.
Start their DC bureau.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
If they want to be legit, I mean, they only have like 80 Twitter followers as of I last checked, but I mean, they're brand new. So
we're going to take it. We're going to SEO.
I gave them 81.
All right. We are running out of time. Let's see. I really want to talk about the church is massive on YouTube. This is one of these classic, just self-congratulatory
is
posts
it?
About how. Yes, honey.
Nothing. I just love the church's YouTube. I will sit there for hours and watch those.
So will I.
Me too, yeah. I have been
more messages
down.
Or the district.
So much.
Love the district.
I've yet to watch the district.
It's so compelling. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does make you wonder. It's like the Hawthorne effect. These investigators. Because they know they're being observed, so does it make them act differently in discussions compared to how they would be?
Is that the Hawthorne effect or the Heisenberg?
Maybe they're probably the same thing. Oh, we called it that in market research. It was the Hawthorne effect.
Oh.
If people know they're being observed,
the act of being observed changes like the
changes
actual
the actual yeah. observation. Yeah. So, but anyways, the Mormon Channel has been called one of YouTube's top brands, and it is. I mean, they've done a really good job building out that channel, especially because it's only a couple of years old at this point. They've pushed it hard. I think a lot of that is because of just the sheer onslaught of content they put up there. They're not. It's not a channel where there's like one video every couple of weeks. I mean, they said what there's something like 1600 videos published so far on the church's
yeah,
channel.
When they first started uploading videos on there, I was like, oh, this is like fun and I could watch them all. And then almost overnight, I was like, this is just too many to watch. And I haven't really watched much since, except, you know, sometimes I go and watch like the Motab. But yeah. It's what's also hard is
Motab has their own page now, too.
That's true.
So
it's very
on.
Nice, actually. Go ahead.
Oh, but the funny thing is, this is really trying to push it as if the church has like taken the internet to 3.0. Like, this is what's happening all because of the church's YouTube channel. It's like a hagiography, honestly, of the YouTube page. So it says stuff like, they found that, let's see here, the church outranks Apple, Microsoft, Ford models, tops Ford
what?
Motors, and little tykes, blah, blah, blah. The point is, it's basically saying, so wait a minute, the church outranks all these people because am I going to YouTube to watch videos about Apple? No, never.
Well, some people do.
But... I mean,
you don't because
really,
you don't like Apple.
But I still keep up on what they do. Know thy enemy.
Keep up. That's
yes.
True.
Darling. But anyways, it's good to see there's actually an attached report here. The church ranks number 52 in these rankings here. Number one is Google. Number two is Red Bull on YouTube's.
I believe that. I can see that.
Parks have all the footage of the flu hovlon or whatever that, you know, the flug tog, whatever.
Marge went to that.
Totally dead in Philly. It was awesome.
In like, not Philly. Where were you? It was the ghetto.
Oh, yeah. I was across the street in New Jersey.
So you're in Camden?
yeah.
With like a huge cluster of cops
had,
like, to separate.
Yeah, they had
the
a police escort for like the people who were coming to view it. And so.
So they could watch the food.
Kind of awesome.
So there's some good ones here. The church is ranked number 52 and a lot
who's,
of things.
Who's number 51?
Number 51 is BMW.
Oh.
We can take them.
Yeah. We got it.
Inches.
It's just one at a time.
Some of the random ones are funny, like Lego Club TV. There are a lot of guitar ones on here, which doesn't surprise me. Like no. Pro
it's
Guitar Shop.
You spend hours
exactly.
watching
Pro,
that stuff.
Pro Guitar Shops
so
is ranked.
Why, but not because I can play.
Pro Guitar Shop is ranked number 35, and all they have are basically videos of not even tutorials, just them demoing new products.
What is Ellen rank?
Like, will it blend?
No, but Blend Tech is pretty high on there, actually. Blend
what
Tech
does
is.
Ellen rank?
I think she's got to be.
Blend Tech's number 8.
Oh, that's
a case in marketing.
A Utah
brilliance.
Company.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really impressive.
Honey, I don't think your beloved Ellen DeGeneres even matters in this conversation.
I love her.
I know.
Me too.
Good.
Do you like the ones where she like scares her guests?
Stop yeah. it.
That's
stop
like
talking,
ones.
All
I
of
get
you.
Sucked in.
Cease with Wait, this.
There was a Mormon on Ellen today.
That's true. There was
that's,
a Mormon family.
That's Mormon.
This
news.
Is Mormon.
Wait,
news.
I have
She's
a question about.
On,
I have a question
so.
About.
Stop the, it. She has.
Why? It was McCain.
Yes, Joe. What is your question?
My hand is raised.
Thank you for raising your
hand. Thank you. So does this calculate all of the different channels that the church has and owns, or is this just like one, like the Mormon channel?
It's the single. Well, the church does it via the single portal of the Mormon Channel, and then they manage other ones through
that. I bet if they went to every single ward's like roadshow posting and like, you know, lassoed those into their numbers, we could get to number like 40.
Haven't they like done away with roadshows? Those are horrible.
No, they're awesome.
Looking up right now. There's
Didn't
one.
Didn't our stake just do like a play Saturday's Warrior?
It did Saturday's Warrior.
I didn't go to.
I know.
I wish they do that Michael McLean.
I completely play misspoke in a mixed group. I was like, somebody was like, yeah, I was almost in that. I was like, you dodged a bullet there. And then five other people were like, we were in that. What bullet did he dodge? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, whoops. I'm going to retreat.
Well,
funny story. One more. So yes. I'm really bad at reading things sometimes. So I saw Saturday's Horror. Put it in the little VHS player. It was not Saturday's Horror.
Well,
oh, this needs to be
you said
created.
Horror, right?
Yes,
not horror.
I thought it was a scary.
Saturday's Horror would be another.
I thought it was going to be a scary movie. It was not. It was the opposite.
Well, it was funny.
It was uplifting. It made me cry. Just kidding. I have no idea.
I was like.
Like a dog named Christmas.
So you were trying to watch a scary movie.
I was young. I thought it would be fun.
You had a strange upbringing, honey.
I know.
She had a very weird upbringing. Well, I think that'll be it. We have a couple other random stories. Another quick note here. Some missionaries and a member were in a car accident in Ukraine, unfortunately.
Ukraine keeps popping up.
I know. And since I love Ukraine, I mention it. But a member died that they were with, which is unfortunate. This happened within the boundaries of the Dnipropetrovsk, Michigan, which is like central Ukraine. So just hearts with and thoughts with the people affected there. The missionaries are okay, but it's unfortunate the member that was probably out doing exchanges with them or something, or just going with them to a discussion, died. So that sucks. But at least
bad things happen to good people.
They do. They do. Opposition in all things. But I think that'll do it, right? Mormon History Guy is a podcast too. You saw that, Joe?
Oh, yeah.
So what's that all about?
There's a Mormon History Guy. He's been really prolific on a lot of the black history with Mormon Church, and
he knows his stuff.
He does know his stuff. His articles are very impressive.
We should have him on here.
Absolutely.
Okay. Find him.
He has a podcast now.
Intern.
I will email him.
Intern, go.
All right.
Mush.
I'm on my way.
Mush. We're good. Well, everybody, you can find us at where can everyone find us? Do you guys know the spiel?
Facebook.
YouTube.
I don't know the YouTube channel.
Twitter
yeah. at The Real Twim.
Yep.
And Facebook at facebook.com/thisweekinmormons.
Yes, sir. And then, of course, Google Plus. We're there as well. Find us on Tween Mormons on YouTube and on Pinterest.
Oh, and Stitcher Radio.
And Stitcher Radio. Also, of course, go to thisweekinmormons.com where all the action is. Shoot us an email.
Great articles written by Jeff R.
And other people. And shoot us an email at contact@thisweekinmormons.com. We also encourage you to sign up for our email list and join Gospel Study Sesh, where we go through gospel study topics through our email list. We have a really good time with that. People love it. So we really...
That's good.
Joe receives them.
I do receive them. I do them on occasion. Don't feel like you have to always keep up. You know, you could still just do a couple.
Yeah, I mean, the idea behind it, of course, is to actually follow through with these specific questions and build sort of a gospel journal. But sometimes if it just works for you to have like an LDS Gems type of thing where you read something uplifting on the day, whatever works for you, you know, make it happen.
It's very adaptable.
That's it.
This has been fun, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thanks. So I'd like to thank Joseph, Angie, actually. His name is Angie.
Long story behind
it. Everyone call him Angie. Actually, why did we call you Angie?
I was the new guy, NG.
Joe and I used to be roommates, and his name was NG, and then we saw him, new guy, Angie.
Okay, mumbled. Moving on.
Quiet, you.
Yeah, so you
I'll
were
steal
thanking
the covers
us.
Tonight.
You were
woman.
Thanking us, and
so
we were saying,
thanks for being here,
welcome.
Guys.
The phrase welcome is what
appreciate
you
Thank
you for
thanks
having
for
us here.
Us.
Thanks, Al, for being away. This was fun.
Al!
We don't even miss him. Enjoy the Southern Hemisphere and Hobbiton, weirdo. and my wife. Hi, Daniel. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for letting me on here.
Yeah, she has been unchained for the first time.
She rocked it.
Daniel, if I may say so, you did a rocking job.
Oh.
You were super, honey.
Oh, wow. Yeah. We'll see how everyone else thinks.
Yeah, okay. Well, please, everyone, anonymously send your emails to review all these people, and I won't share it with anybody but myself.
Well, goodbye. We have a puzzle to do.
Yeah, we do. All right, so folks, This Week in Mormons, thank you very much for listening. We can't do it without you, and we very, very much appreciate you taking the time to listen to this, and we hope you have a great week, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Don't she look pretty in her paisley dress, standing over this city to get a view of this mess?